Welcome to the Williams Nikken YB Herton phone conference line.
Good morning.
Hey, Monty, good morning. I guess I'm the only one on here yet.
Probably. By the way, I have to leave. I have an 8 o'clock doctor's appointment.
Okay.
I have, so I'll be leaving early.
Okay, thank
when
you.
When you don't see my name no more, I'm gone.
Okay, well, thanks for letting me know. I'll know it wasn't because you were bored, but because you had to leave.
I'd never do that.
I changed my subject this morning.
Do what?
I changed my subject this morning, but thank you for the... I'm going to use that other a different day.
Oh, fine. I'm just sending that stuff to help
I
you out.
I am not. Thank you.
You use it fine if you don't fine. It's up to you, hon.
Thank you. I think we're the only... I forgot how to find out.
Star 2.
Now we have some other people with us. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's Mary Lou. It's Health Style Monday.
Good morning. This is Doug.
Hi, Doug. I wonder if I should go in and try to put these slides up. Or Bruce will be here. I've only got 1 minute. I see Monty's on here now. Oh, Ruth's coming.
Ruth's here, or she's on the thing.
So the slides will be coming any minute. Good, thanks.
Okie dokie, Smokey.
We go into Thanksgiving week. I think we're going to have a pretty quiet one this year, which is fine. I won't overeat.
You'll get through it okay.
I know. Talk a little more today about exercise again, how it affects Alzheimer's, how it affects our brain. Okay, good morning, are you here yet? Good morning, is that Ruth?
Good morning, this is Margaret.
Good morning, Margaret. Good morning, good to hear you. And maybe we can chat right after the call on your other little issue.
I have an appointment. So let me call you about 10:30?
Sure, that's fine.
Okay, all right, okay.
Okay, good morning, everybody. Ruth, are you here?
Good morning, Mary Lou.
Good morning. We've got Margaret. You can see him on the screen. And then we have a couple of... and Doug's on, too. He's just not showing up on the screen yet. And probably Steve. Okay, good morning. It's another wonderful, beautiful Monday morning here in, surprise, Arizona. And welcome to our Health Style Call. And all of us on this call have a mission to teach and support the practice of habitual health style choices, becoming more mind and body fit. And if you're on the WebEx, you'll see the pictures of the different people that are on here on a regular basis. And that's the ones that really are on this team and have this mission to teach and support the practice of habitual health style choices. Okay, this is Monday, and I usually go over the getting back to basics. And if we've got I will go over it just in case we've got some new people that are listening in that haven't joined the WebEx, but we want to try to strive for a, a healthier lifestyle. And Ruth put together a chart here that helps us, and we keep track of our points. And we try to strive for a 10, get as close to a 10 as we can. And I know when most of us started, we were... you know, we weren't getting even close to a 10. So the way that we get these points is, first of all, we need to drink plenty of PIMAG water. And we've got on the screen here 8 8-ounce glasses of water a day. That would be probably, we recommend half your body weight in ounces of water. So 8 8-ounce glasses would be great for a person that weighs about 128 pounds. So, and if you live in a hot area like I do in Arizona, you want to increase that by at least a quart. You want to also, if you know, when you exercise, you want to be sure that you are drinking plenty of PIMAG water. Getting a good night's sleep on your Nikan sleep system, 7 to 8 hours of night sleep a night is really important. That's when your body is getting rid of toxins, getting rid of stress, and rebuilding itself. So getting 7 to 8 hours sleep is, well, I guess 6 to 8 hours. We spend a third of our life in bed, so it's got to, we want to have, encourage everybody to be on a Nikan sleep system, getting the very best possible sleep. Exercise, I'm going to come back to, because that's going to be my topic again today. When I get on to something, I just don't stop. And I think I get on to it because it's more, because I'm researching it more for myself, and I do feel that it's information that's beneficial to everybody else, but it's really a motivation for me to get out there and do my, get my exercise. We want to make sure everybody takes their nutritionals, you know, we've got some marvelous nutritionals, and if anybody hasn't seen the talk of Roger Drummers yet from the leadership conference, it's definitely worth 10 minutes of your time, and I've already downloaded, put it on my YouTube channel, but it's in the Nikan Library, and so be sure to get on there. He talks about the progesterol. Couple of things that jumped out at me, though, is the most important thing we can do for our kids is to make sure we have healthy adults in the home. And so it's a wonderful 10 minutes.
Good grief.
And then journaling, this can count as your journal. Marking off the little boxes up there as you drink your water, your sleep, your exercise, your journal. But then write down things on the back. If you've noticed, you know, that you get tired after you eat, or maybe you got tons of energy after you eat, or if you're achy, write those things down, because the next part of this is journaling what it was that you ate. And maybe I'm sure you'll be able to finger point exactly what caused you to be tired or achy or maybe acid reflux or whatever, but journal those things, because that nobody knows your body better than you do. And if you're writing down what it is that you're eating, I think that you'll be able to figure it out what is causing the chaos. So then we encourage 3 meals and a couple of healthy snacks throughout the day. These are healthy meals, and of course, one of them, one or two, can be your body balance shake, which we add wonderful fruits and vegetables and healthy fats to. So, and we found timing of eating. We've talked a little bit about that. When you go out and exercise, it's really best to exercise before you've eaten. It's really a good idea to fast for, 16 hours a day. And I know Monty shared with us the other day that he's a diabetic, and we were worried that maybe a diabetic couldn't fast, but he's actually been doing that, and he's getting very, very good results. And I can't remember what day's call that was, but if you have questions on that, it was probably last Monday.
I have something to say about that, Mary Lou.
Uh-huh, okay.
Another thing that we have studied is that having, we studied, I don't know when, is having a little snack, and those snacks that we have, like on the chart, by having a little snack, your body keeps saying, okay, I'm fine, I can go ahead and lose weight. But if we don't have a little snack, then we might think that, our body might think, I'm not getting anything in here to burn, I better not let any fat go. I better hang on. And so I think it would be fun for us to kind of experiment a little bit and then maybe report what the difference is. Whether, you know, if maybe when we, I'm thinking maybe when I get up, I need to have that little, what I have is about 3 almonds and some dried, natural dried cranberries, the ones with apple juice instead of the sugar. Anyway, and just have that. So my body thinks it's still getting fed. And also my blood sugar stays a little bit better, I think. So I experimented last week with waiting until 11 or 12 to have my breakfast. And now this week I'm going to experiment with having that little snack that I had been having. I think maybe that was working a little bit better. But I would be interested to see if anybody else is interested in experimenting with that. And snack maybe then, and then in the middle of the afternoon or whenever. Comparing the weight gain and how you feel.
Okay, I think that's a good idea, and then jot that down on the back. And you know, everybody's body is a little bit different, so that will be interesting,
mm-hmm.
and it'll tell you what's best for you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think. Okay. Good point, Ruth. I know I just have my nutrition, food nutrition, my progesterol and my Siaga and my Jade Greenzymes in the morning, so early.
I do that too. I did continue doing that.
Yeah, early. Okay, so what I want to talk about today, I think we covered that chart. You want to strive to as close of a 10-day as you can, and yeah, write down, just flip this sheet over, print it off, flip it over, and write down what time you had those snacks, what it was, and, you know, how did you feel? That would be a great experiment. Okay, I want to talk about today how fitness protects aging brains. And I hope everybody can hear me well enough. And this came, again, from Dr. Mercola. And, you know, we've talked a lot about brains, and probably because a lot of us on this call are getting to the age where everybody says, oh, well, you're probably eventually going to get Alzheimer's or dementia, blah, blah, blah. And there are some things that we can do to prevent us from getting that. This article actually just came out the 16th of November. Aging Americans are experiencing cognitive decline in numbers never seen before. Alzheimer's disease has reached epidemic proportions in the U.S. And some of these statistics are 5.4 million Americans are living with Alzheimer's disease, and it's estimated that up to 16 million will have the disease by the year 2050. 1 in 8 Americans, 65 and over, have Alzheimer's. I thought that was staggering. And Alzheimer's disease is the 6th leading cause of death in the U.S. and the 5th leading cause of death for those age 65 and older. Alzheimer's increased by 66% between the year 2000 and 2008. And it says 1 in 7 of the estimated 800,000 people that have Alzheimer's are living alone, and they have to fend for themselves. That is really sad. So it says if you develop Alzheimer's, it's a far greater problem than just memory loss because it can kill you, and it makes every other medical problem much more difficult to treat. Although many will claim Alzheimer's is not preventable, there are measures you can take that will lower your odds of developing age-related cognitive decline, or worst-case scenario, full-on dementia. The aspect of your brain function that typically begins to decline first is connected with your working memory or your capacity to process information. Researchers have identified 5 functions that tend to be the first ones to decline with age. 1, processes requiring your attention. 2, working memory capability, or the amount of information you can work with without losing track. 3, understanding complex text. 4, making inferences and drawing conclusions. And 5, putting information into your memory and retrieving it later. 3 major requirements for brain power. Cognitive changes related to aging are actually related more to today's diet and lifestyle rather than to the aging process itself. And we've talked quite a bit about this. It says, as we age, the cumulative effects of environmental toxins, exposure to free radicals, poor nutrition, stress, and other factors takes a toll on our body. But what has been called age-related cognitive decline is really an accumulation of this damage to your cells. But the cognitive decay is not set in stone. So here's the good news. There are 3 primary factors that play a powerful role in maintaining sharp mental function even as you age. 1 is regular exercise. 2, the foods you choose to eat or avoid. We talk a lot about that. And 3, managing your emotional stress. It says the latest studies discussed in the following section really underscore just how important exercise is in order for your brain to function optimally. You already know how important it is to exercise your brain by learning new skills, adopting new and varied daily routines, and engaging in creative activities. But such mental and social exercises stimulate your brain activity and promote new neural connections. However, physical exercise is even more important than mental exercise when it comes to protecting your brain from this cognitive decline. Size matters when it comes to our brain function. Declines in thinking and memory have been linked to actual brain shrinkage, atrophy. A new study published in the Journal of Neurology found that physical exercise not only protects against age-related brain changes, but also has more of an effect than mentally stimulating activities. And I thought it was really important, you know, to do the crossword puzzles and all that stuff. Whereas that is good, we need to also do the physical activity. It says that there was at the University of Edinburgh, they followed more than 600 people that started at the age of 70, and they kept detailed logs of their daily physical and mental and social habits. They did that for 3 years, and then their brains were imaged for age-related changes such as brain shrinkage and damage to the white matter, which is considered the wiring of your brain's communication system. The people who engaged in the most physical exercise showed the least amount of brain shrinkage.
Wow.
Yeah. In contrast, subjects showed no measurable benefit from mental or social activities. And the researchers were not discouraging people from engaging in mental and social activities, but they were just emphasizing that those activities are not as effective in preventing brain atrophy as is physical exercise. Crossword puzzles just can't compete with a regular 30-minute workout, he says at a gym. We'll go on, we can talk about the walking. Okay, because the findings showed only an association, not a causal relationship, the authors could not rule out the possibility that people with less deterioration in their brains were simply more likely to be physically active. However, other studies tend to support this Edinburgh findings. There was a study at the University of Pittsburgh found that adults aged 60 to 80 walking moderately just 30 to 45 minutes 3 days a week for 1 year. Okay, 60 to 80 years old walking moderately 3 days per week for a year showed a 2% increase in the volume of their hippocampus. And that's the region of our brain important for our memory. it says, generally at this age, people are losing 1 to 3% per year of this hippocampal volume. So the changes in size of the hippocampus were correlated with changes in the blood levels of the brain-derived neurotrophic factor, what they call BDNF. And BDNF is part of a cascade of proteins produced in your brain that promote neuron growth and prevent neuron death. This Dr. Erickson also found higher fitness levels associated with a larger prefrontal cortex. He called exercise one of the most promising non-pharmaceutical treatments to improve brain health. And the important takeaway from these studies is that mental decline is not inevitable. Exercise is as good for your brain as it is for the rest of your body. Anybody have anything they want to say about that?
I think it's pretty exciting.
Okay.
I think I have had improvement, though, also with recall, with word recall, which was one of my challenges, is the crossword puzzles and just working at things and developing a part of your brain, like I mentioned with the music before, and being able to recall music. It's just practicing it. But I think if you went over all everything, that the exercise is really... As a matter of fact, when there was a long, long time ago, a study, the Philadelphia Independent Philadelphia Institute of... what was Philadelphia Institute of Child Development, that if you had wanted to develop a child's brain, what you did is exercise a child and help them to be crawling and that's part of my baby training and teaching babies is start preschool at birth, and so every day you have exercise time. Run those legs, swim those hands, arms, and develops the brain. Not for the body so much as developing the brain.
Okay.
I think that works. And so why wouldn't it work for everybody else?
That's right. Okay, so the next part of this says that exercise protects your brain from stress hormones. I think we know that. But exercise increases your brain health in a variety of ways. It jumpstarts the neurogenesis, the creation of new brain cells. Neurogenesis is thought to be especially prevalent in your hippocampus. As you age, the stem cells in your brain tend to become less active and you produce fewer new cells, which may slow your brain function. It encourages new brain cells to join the existing neural network instead of rattling around aimlessly in the brain before dying. Exercise helps the new brain cells learn how to multitask. It upregulates production of brain chemicals and growth factors like this BDNF, which is key in maintaining memory, skilled task performance, and overall cognitive function. It lifts your mood and helps you neutralize the harmful effects of stress by boosting neurotransmitters such as serotonin, dopamine, and this other really long word, norepinephrine, I don't know, norepinephrine. And it may even protect your brain cells against the effects of stress hormones. It increases insulin sensitivity and may even help you make better food choices. Exercise doesn't have to be exhausting to be effective. 3 to 5 hours a week has been shown to be adequate. And according to one study, the odds of developing Alzheimer's were nearly quadrupled in people who were less active during their leisure time between the ages of 20 and 60 compared with their peers. Did you hear that?
So what did you say it again, Mary Lou?
one study says the odds of developing Alzheimer's nearly quadrupled in people who were less active during their leisure time between the ages of 20 and 60 compared with their peers. The ages of 20 to 60. And then he talks about the healthy brain diet, which I think we've been talking about quite a bit. The third major factor in supporting your brain as you age is your diet. You want to upregulate, repair, and regeneration in your brain, and this is best accomplished by optimizing your insulin and leptin signaling in your body. The best way to achieve this is by lowering your carb intake, limiting your protein consumption to 1 gram of protein per kilogram of lean body mass, which is, for most men, that's 75 grams or less of protein every day. The key to it is to replace reduce your carb and protein intake with healthy fats such as coconut oil, avocado, olive oil, and fats from healthy pasteurized animals, which is like our eggs and dairy, I suppose, from pasteurized animals. Coconut oil is particularly beneficial for brain health and has actually been shown to be helpful in senile dementia. Well, we have done our share of studying on coconut oil. So it says the two most important nutrients of your brain are fats and antioxidants. And so we are definitely on the right track on that. Another when it comes to talking about this exercise, I just saw a short little blurb here that Dr. Mercola had from last week, and that sitting may be key for maximum longevity. And I missed a couple of calls last week, so I apologize if somebody mentioned this again, but it concerns me because a lot of us are sitting, in front of the computer, quite a bit. And it says if the Americans would cut back on the amount of time sitting down, it could add years to their life expectancy. Most people spend a large portion of their day in a seated position. It's hard to avoid because, as computer work predominates, most people are working at computers and stuff. There's some places that put the computers up. I've seen even maybe like on a treadmill or something, or have them up in the air so that you're standing there, which I instead of sitting. I think that's a great idea. I wish I had a shelf to put my computer on. It says that this in NBC News, there's a study that estimates that reducing the average time you spend sitting down to less than 3 hours a day could increase your life expectancy by 2 years.
Really?
Reducing the time you spend watching TV to less than 2 hours could increase it by 1.4 years. But he goes on to talk about people that commute. I mean, if you stop and think about it, people that are commuting are sitting. Think of those people that, drive to work, hour and a half or 45 minutes each way or an hour each way. They've already put their 2 hours sitting. That's scary. So if you could spend the average time less than 3 hours a day, it will increase your life expectancy by 2 years. They compared that also to a person that smoked. Oh, I'll get to that in a minute. There is this study as to the growing body of evidence suggesting that sitting itself is deadly. While previous studies have looked at the health risks to the individual, the new study examines the risk of sitting for the whole population. The research elevates sedentary behavior as an important risk factor similar to smoking and obesity. Sitting may be responsible for about 173,000 cases of cancer each year.
Well, I haven't heard of that before.
Yep. It's found our culture of sitting may be responsible for 173,000 cases of cancer each year. Because U.S. adults spend an average between 4.5 and 5 hours a day sitting down, you know, that could be commuting and so forth, a significant shift in the population's behavior would be needed to have an effect on life expectancy. This might be achieved through changes in the workplace, such as using standing desks and by watching less TV. But there was a second study published in British Journal of Sports Medicine in October, which included nearly 12,000 Australian adults, and it concluded that each hour spent watching television after the age of 25 reduces your life expectancy by nearly 22 minutes. To put this into perspective, the authors compared it to smoking. Each cigarette reduces your life expectancy by about 11 minutes. So all in all, researchers found that adults who spent an average of 6 hours in front of the TV will reduce their life expectancy by just under 5 years compared to someone who doesn't watch TV. But I would say that that is, you know, all sitting. I don't think it's just watching the TV. Inactivity is naturally associated with increased risk for poor health, which will likely impact your overall lifespan. A recent study analyzed 18 studies that in total included nearly 800,000 people, found that those who sat for the longest periods of time were twice as likely to have diabetes or heart disease compared to those who sat the least. And while prolonged sitting was linked to an overall greater mortality risk from any cause, the strongest link was to death due to diabetes. Even for people who are otherwise active, sitting for long stretches, even if we're active, sitting for long stretches seems to be an independent risk factor for conditions like diabetes, cardiovascular disease, and kidney disease. And so the key, we talked long, you know, quite a while ago, several weeks ago, I mentioned, you know, if we're sitting in front of the computer, we shouldn't be sitting there for very long. We should get up. We should, you know, I have to change the size of my water glass, so I have to get up and get my water more often. It makes me think more about getting up and moving around. So we just need to be more active. There's a lot of other stuff here, but about the healthy brain diet as well, but I just really wanted to cover today about the exercise part. So anybody have any questions or anything you want to say about that? I know I'm going to keep doing my walking. Monty had to leave for a doctor appointment. Okay. Well, no questions or comments?
Very good, Mary Lou. Good.
I'm sure that you get out and move around, don't you? You move around a lot.
Yeah, I'm pretty active. I pretty much always have been, although I did a lot of sitting when I was working, because I was working with computers, and well, it's pretty hard not to be sitting almost any job you're working on, actually. But I've always been one that I couldn't sit very long just because I get restless and I get up and walk around, so that maybe has helped me over the years.
Yeah. Well, good.
Well,
I think that's really
good information, Mary Lou.
Yes,
yeah, I have to really make myself get out and move, and who would have thought? You know, when I look back now at my poor mother and mother-in-law, and, oh, sure, they both, you know, they were on high blood pressure drugs, and I've been blaming the drugs and everything, but they both, either one of them really went out and did their daily walk, and even after my mom had her open heart surgery, I think it was 6 bypasses or something, yeah, I think it was 6, she had diabetes and everything, I could not get her to walk, and so it's really, really sad as we watch, you know, I know watching my parents decline, and I don't want to be there, so, but I had not, I knew it was important to do all the little brain exercises, but I didn't realize that, going out and walking can actually, or exercising can actually increase the size of our brain when the natural thing is that it is decreasing in size as we age. So,
but just to think, sorry, Mary Lou.
No, go ahead.
Just think if we chose to exercise like square dancing or line dancing or something like that, you'd be pushing your brain and exercising it at the same time. I bet that would be really twice as good.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. It really
That's
would.
That's a great idea. Yeah.
This is Kathleen, and I'm thrilled because I was thinking I had just taken 10 years off my life recently because I never sit down. So I'm feeling
Oh.
better.
No, it was good for you.
Yes, and I run in little spurts when I'm doing something instead of just walking.
Well, good for you.
And another thing I'm reminded about of my grandfather, who lived to be almost 100, I think it was 98 when he passed away, is that he had just told me, well, I've been out walking for five miles. I walk 5 miles every day, every morning. He would go out and go for a long, long walk.
Wow.
So, no wonder he was so sharp and...
You know, there's about 10 little real quick points here that just kind of summarize this additional strategies to significantly lower our Alzheimer's risk, and I'm just going to cover them real quickly. I'm not going to go in the paragraph, but optimizing our vitamin D, which we've talked about, so, you know, we're on the right track. Don't, you know, fructose, eliminate our fructose. Keep that level below 25 grams a day, below that. And keep your fasting insulin levels below 3, which I don't understand that one, but and Monty had to go, so I couldn't ask him about that. Make sure we're getting our vitamin B12. Eat a nutritious diet rich in folate, which is, oh, and it says right here, strict vegetarian diets have been shown to increase Alzheimer's risk. Did you hear that?
I did. Did you hear me say, ooh?
Yeah. Whereas diets rich, high in omega-3s lower your risk. However, vegetables, without question, are your best form of folate, and we should eat, all eat plenty of fresh, raw veggies every day. High-quality, animal-based omega-3 fats. He talks about krill oil, and I do know several people that have taken that. I think Cy and LaVon have always taken krill oil. And that's
the same as, like, taking cod liver oil, but it's more concentrated or something?
Is it?
Krills.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I never knew what krill was, so anyway.
I got one, but it tastes sort of fishy, so I didn't like it.
It's teeny, teeny, tiny, almost plankton-like stuff that whales just inhale.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and I used one bottle of it somewhere, and I'll tell you, it changed me so much. I'm always so dry and scaly, and it one bottle of that mellowed my skin and body out somehow.
So are you still taking it?
No, I kind of get off and, you know, I need to figure out what it was I took, get some more.
You can get it on Vitacost.
Yes.
And, you know,
Dr. McCullough really pushes that.
Yeah, he recommends, go ahead.
Well, I'm sorry, I probably got mine from Dr. McCullough.
Okay. He says, you know, he avoids most fish, recommends most fish because although fish is naturally high in omega-3, most fish are now severely contaminated with mercury. So a high intake of omega-3 fatty acid DHA helps preventing cell damage caused by Alzheimer's. And it will lower your risk of that disorder. Okay, avoid and remove mercury from our body, which we talked about. Avoid aluminum, such as antiperspirants, nonstick cookware, and vaccines. Exercise regularly. It's got a whole paragraph on that. Avoid the flu vaccine. Eat blueberries. Challenge your mind daily, Ruth. So there, that mental stimulation is important as well. And avoid statin drugs and anticholinergic. Those are, I think they could be the beta blockers.
They're not colonic?
Cholinder. It ends up in.
Estrol?
I think it probably is for the cholesterol. Well, let me see. Drugs that block acetylcholine, a nervous system neurotransmitter, have been shown to increase your risk of dementia. These drugs include certain nighttime pain relievers, antihistamines, sleep aids, certain antidepressants, medications to control incontinence, and certain narcotic pain relievers. One study found that those who took drugs classified as that word I read you, definite anticholinergics, had a 4 times higher incidence of this cognitive impairment. Regularly taking 2 of these drugs further increase the risk, and statin drugs are particularly problematic because they suppress the synthesis of cholesterol, which is one of the primary building blocks of your brain. Wow. Okay.
Yikes.
But anyway, we're on the right track with our health style, and because we're eating healthier, we're drinking our water, we're eating our good fats, we're getting our exercise, and we're journaling, and might want to do a puzzle once in a while. But I think the dancing, line dancing, square dancing, what a good idea, and I've certainly got the clubs here. I should just go join one. Make new friends, too.
It just causes joy in your heart to do that, too.
Yeah, it does. It does. Yep. Okay, you guys, any last-minute questions? We went over time. I apologize.
What was your source? This is Kathleen. I'm sorry I got on after we started. But
what was my what?
What was your source or your title today?
Dr. Mercola and how fitness protects against aging brains. And we talked about exercise and how it increases the size. November 16th this year, how it increases the, it keeps your brain from atrophying.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So,
wow,
helps
thanks,
with all.
Lou.
Okay,
thanks.
You guys. We'll be on here tomorrow.
Good job.
Terrific Tuesday. Thanks. Have an awesome day, everybody.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.